You're listening to episode 26 of The Mixtape. We share our memories of a few of the greats we've lost in January. We also share a few things we might be a little embarrassed to admit, and Deb considers what to do with a creative outlet from her single days. Enjoy the show.
Oh my goodness.
Hey there, hi there, ho there.
Hello.
I'm Deb.
I'm Courtney.
And this is The Mixtape episode 26.
26, Chief.
That was a good year for me. I always remember thinking, God, 26, that was a great year.
Really?
Yeah.
What happened to you that year? What did you do that year?
I don't know. I think I got my first real professional job in my industry, and it was fun and all that.
Big deal, Deb.
You know what is a big deal, Courtney? I'm just going to jump right into this
because I saw this on
Facebook just a few minutes ago.
Oh.
There is a brand new Pee-wee movie out.
Yeah.
Now, you say you knew this was happening.
Yes.
Just been announced today. It's called Pee-wee's Big Holiday. The dates, the release dates.
I was going to say, no, incorrect. But yeah. Yes.
It premieres Thursday, March 17th, if you're lucky enough to be at South by Southwest in Austin, Texas.
It will be there, and so will Pee-wee Herman.
Yeah. Yeah, and then on Netflix, it's an exclusive Netflix production. Hmm. It will be available on Netflix on Friday, March 18th.
Very exciting. It's very exciting.
Yeah,
I'm excited.
Yeah. Did you know that Paul Reumans is 63 years old?
Yes, I did know that.
That's crazy.
Well, you know, time marches on. I love Pee-wee Herman. Do you know that my brother, this very Christmas passed, so
a mere few weeks ago. Yes.
Totally stole a talking Pee Wee Herman doll from me in the White Elephant gift exchange.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
That wouldn't
be
a White Elephant for me. That would be like, I want that thing.
I wanted it hard.
But he got it.
Feelings were hurt. That's all I'm going to say. Feelings were hurt. So I hope you're treating it right.
So we are not even 3 weeks into 2016, but it seems to be the year of death.
I mean, what is going on?
What
is going on?
It's crazy. Celebrity deaths so far. Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, the big one.
Not even so far, but just in the last 6 days.
That's right.
Right.
Or, well, let's see. David Bowie,
now,
January
the last
10th.
Week.
Yeah. Yeah. Of course, we've talked about David Bowie quite a bit on the show because of this.
Sarah, go back to your room. Play with your toys and your costumes. Forget about the baby.
Forget about the baby.
Oh my God, girl, what?
I didn't even know he was ill. I guess a lot of people, it wasn't public knowledge, correct?
And that's, I think, what's been so shocking about a lot of these is like, nobody knew. Nobody knew. And that's, you know, on the one hand, I'm like, good for you. Keep things as private as you want to keep them for you and your family, but it's a pretty huge shock.
Yeah. Yeah. And to know that he pre-planned the release of his album and the video and all of that is just very touching, very moving. I'm not a huge Bowie fan. I certainly have enjoyed being in the same universe as him, world as him for the past 40 years or so, and appreciating the art that he has contributed, because he really was a trailblazer in a lot of different ways, not just music, but just theater arts in general.
That's just it too, right? That like even people who are not particularly Bowie fans can recognize the enormous contributions he's made to the artistic world in general.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just beyond compare. And I think a lot of it is that David Bowie was a bit of a misfit, and he spoke to, I think, the misfit in all of us, right? I mean, if you felt like a freak at any point in your life, as most of us have, there's David Bowie letting his freak flag fly being amazing. You know, maybe that makes it all okay.
What's your favorite David Bowie song,
Big
Courtney?
Loss.
There are a lot of them.
There are a lot of them. I have to say I have a Best of Bowie compilation that I listened to. I threw that into the car on my way to work on last Monday after I found out, and Space Oddity is the first one on there, and I had a pretty significant lump in my throat listening to that and hearing about, you know, planet Earth is blue and there's nothing I can do, and it just was really hard to to hear those lyrics and, you know, about this guy who floats out into space and just disappears.
Yeah.
But by the time I got midway through Suffragette City and to the Wham Bam Thank You Ma'am, I was jamming again. I was like, this feels good. This is good. And just thank you. I was filled with gratitude. Do you have a favorite song? And now that you've been introduced to David Bowie via Labyrinth, I mean, I know your world is just like...
This one?
But I'll be there for you as the world falls down.
Yeah, no, that's not going to be my favorite. I told you, I fell asleep
not.
In Labyrinth.
I would hope not.
No.
That's all right.
Either I like... China Girl, I like Let's Dance. I like the more poppy stuff, but Space Oddity, how can you deny that that was a huge, huge song?
Yeah.
And amazing production. Just great stuff.
Yeah.
We will miss David Bowie.
His absence will be felt heartily. And frankly, we should all be so lucky as to have some inkling of the time we have left and then know exactly what we want to do with it and be that motivated. I'm so, so impressed by that.
Yep.
So another artist that we lost just 3 days later, January 13th, is Brian Bedford. Brian Bedford was a notable stage actor, a Tony Award winner. He most recently made a big splash reprising the role of Lady Bracknell in The Importance of Being Earnest by Oscar Wilde. And if you're not a theater nerd like me, you may be sitting there thinking, why do I care? How on earth would I possibly know who this is? But you may be familiar with a little project that he did in 1973.
Marry her? You don't just walk up to a girl, hand her a bouquet and say, hey, remember me? We were kids together. Will you marry me?
Marion, my love, will you marry me?
Oh, darling, I thought you'd never ask me.
No, it just isn't done that way.
Disney's Robin Hood.
Oh, my God. So good.
Yeah.
So good.
Yeah, that's the animated version, of course.
Yes, Walt Disney's version of Robin Hood, which is a wonderful piece and I think important to a lot of us in our childhoods.
You actually own it, right?
I do.
And how did you come to owning that? Was that something that you picked up yourself or was it a gift? Or
it was a gift.
Yeah.
It was a gift. Yeah. Huh. From the Hubs.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah. It was a beautiful adaptation.
So after that, the day after that, we heard that Alan Rickman passed away. Now, I think this was probably the one that was, I mean, David Bowie and Alan Rickman equal in terms of
enormous
in their industries, and we could have pulled some audio from many things that Alan Rickman did, but this one is my favorite.
I'm going to count to three. There will not be a four. Give me the code. One. Two.
I don't know it. I'm telling you. Get on the jet to Tokyo to ask the chairman. I'm telling you, you're just going to have to kill me.
Okay. We do it the hard way. Tony, see if you can dispose of that.
That's him as Hans Gruber in Die Hard.
Wow.
Yeah.
I haven't seen that in so long.
From what the little clips I was watching today to grab that audio, it holds up.
Yeah.
Pretty good. Yippee-ki-yay, you know?
Alan Rickman, man, that voice is, there's no one else has that voice.
I also realized today, I'd forgotten, but he's in Sense and Sensibility.
Such a beautiful, beautiful adaptation of that. It's gorgeous. And he is so good in it. He's in one of my favorite movies, which I have not watched yet since he has passed away, because I wasn't ready. It's going to be too hard.
Sure.
Truly, Madly, Deeply. If you haven't seen that, it is a beautiful piece, and sweet and sad and funny and sad.
Oh.
And so sad, but in a really a bittersweet, wonderful way. I usually when I watch it, I have to be very careful not to dehydrate because I just like sob the entire time. And so I was kind of like, I kind of want to watch it, but I don't think that I can.
Yeah.
Yet. So yeah. I will at some point. But it's a beautiful love story. It's wonderful. So highly recommend. You know what I love about Alan Rickman?
What?
There's that scene Everything. In Love. Yeah. And then there's that scene in Love Actually where he gets really mad and is like, what are you going to do? Dip it in yogurt? Because, and then I feel like, oh, he hates yogurt too. And now we're besties.
Always with the yogurt. Hate the yogurt. You're hating on the yogurt.
That, I think that was the hardest one for me. I think Bowie left people reeling. And then before anyone even got back on their feet from that, there was this second enormous blow, both at age 69, mm-hmm. both from cancer mm-hmm. that apparently almost no one knew they were even battling.
Wow.
It's been rough. And then we have this one I'm not as, no offense to anyone. I don't wish anyone ill or pain, and all loss is pain. But this one, I got to be honest with you, it doesn't really do.
Doesn't affect you at all.
For me. Renee, I'm going to mess up his last name.
Anjelil. Celine Dion's husband,
you guys. Celine. We know she's emotional, so just be careful. Be careful with that.
So obviously you're not a Celine Dion fan, but do you not, would you say you don't like her? Or are you indifferent to her?
I am indifferent to, I find her fascinating.
Yeah.
But I don't own any Celine Dion albums, and I cannot foresee a circumstance in which that would change.
Would you go to her show in Vegas?
If I didn't have to pay for it.
Okay.
I imagine it's quite the spectacle,
yeah.
But it's nothing I actually care about. So
yeah.
Would I be interested to see it? Sure. Am I going to pay like hundreds of dollars for it? Oh, no. No. No offense, Celine, and I'm very sorry about the loss of your husband.
Yeah, and his passing is a little different than the other ones on the list in that he didn't really, I mean, he was famous because of his relationship with the superstar.
Wasn't he her producer?
Yeah.
Or a producer?
He was her agent from age like 13.
Can I tell you? Oh, that's right. And she was like his child lover.
Yep.
Can I tell you, the thing I know most about them as a couple is once upon a time, I had this like special edition of People magazine, like way back when I was in high school. It was a special episode of People magazine that was like a wedding edition. And it was all these like fabulous weddings through the years and through the decades and this and that. Like, I fell in love with Liz Taylor's first wedding dress. That thing was frickin' gorgeous.
Yeah.
But I was fascinated with the photo of Celine Dion and Renee's wedding because...
Let me guess. Can I guess?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
She had this insane headpiece.
Headpiece. It was the headpiece.
Insane beaded headpiece.
Yeah.
That looked like, I don't even know, like Princess Leia meets Ice Castles meets I don't know what. And then she was next to this like super old guy. And I was like, what is happening in this picture?
Yeah. Yeah, it had to have been encrusted with diamonds or something. Like,
oh my
God. She wanted more diamonds and she didn't know where to put them. So she had this big
like, stick them on my head.
Pope thing made for her head,
it's
you
weird.
Know?
It was weird.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, well, she looked fantastic. I mean,
okay.
But I mean, she could, if anyone could get away with it,
oh,
she
for sure.
did.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. Anyway, he passed on January 14th. And then,
Renee.
Like, the next day, Dan Haggerty, Grizzly Adams, passed away. I wasn't a big fan of this show. This was way before your time, Courtney.
Yeah, I know. I saw a picture of him and I was like, he looks like Dan Fouts.
Yeah.
Who was a football player. I don't know. And I don't know anything about him. So, continue.
And then the last one on our list. The Eagles.
Len Fry of the Eagles. I'm a little embarrassed. Deb, which one was Glenn Fry?
Well, they all kind of. He was the one who sang
like
this song.
They're like one person to me. They're like one human. They're like one entity. Even though they all hated each other for so long. Did they all hate each other, or was it just Don Henley and everybody hated him?
I don't know. I don't know what all the politics. It's just like Fleetwood Mac. Who slept with who?
Oh, everybody.
Who wedded what? You know, Journey, Steve Perry didn't feel like he was part of the band. Give me a break, dude. You were the band.
Yeah.
But no, I don't. I know that he had a pretty good solo career in the 80s once the Eagles split up. Probably not as good as Don Henley's, but what's that?
Hey.
Yeah. Yeah. But he had the kind of that signature saxophone sound in a lot of his music. So,
yeah, for a second when that started playing, I was like, oh no, did Michael Bolton die? Did Kenny G die? You know who else passed away just, I think, today? I saw was the drummer from Crosby, Stills, and Nash.
Oh my gosh.
I know. Like, what is going on? Wow. What is going on? My husband pointed out, he's like, another rock star in his 60s that, you know, it was not publicly known that he was unwell. And he's like, there's got to be a pattern. I mean, you know, the 70s were a crazy time.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
I can only imagine whatever you guys were doing back then, like, it's caught up with you. I don't know.
Are you lumping me in with that? Or are you guys meaning those guys?
The dead guys. They. Okay. Not you.
I did read something that talked about how people hang on through the holidays, and sometimes January can kind of be the, you know.
Yeah, the floodgates open with that.
Well, I'll tell you, the floodgates that opened after this was happening, all of these celebrities died again on Facebook. Jeez.
This is something that's near and dear to our hearts because months ago, we were talking about topics for this podcast, and Deb texts me and she says, "Did you see James Garner died? I think that we should say something about this." And I had to take a minute because I was like, I feel like James Garner was already dead. And I'm like, why? Why do I? And so I had to look it up. And then I had to, like, I want you to know I worked really hard on my tone in my text because I didn't want it to come off as like, James Garner's already dead. Don't you know that? But it was, I had to look it up and it had happened like, you know, 6 months previous.
That's
one of the problems with social media is like somebody sees something for the first time or has forgotten that it happened and forwards it on. And then the next thing you know, there's this whole second merry-go-round of like, hey, James Garner is dead. James Garner has been dead over
a year.
Rue McClanahan. I had somebody like notify me that Rue McClanahan was dead. Rue McClanahan has been, Blanche Devereaux has left the building.
Yeah.
Many moons ago.
A while ago. A few other ones that I saw, Bob Denver. Who died
ten years ago.
2005, he passed away. Yeah, that
Gilligan is gone.
That was crazy. Annette Funicello, that one showed up. She passed away in 2013.
Yep. And Christopher Lee.
Christopher Lee
was last year. And that one I remembered. I'm like, I know we went through this because I remember hearing the clips of stuff on the radio and, you know, and my husband and I talking about it because he was a fan. And I was like, I'm not going to go through this again. I did this already. I mourned this already. I'm done.
Now, conversely, there are the alerts that come through of someone dying that hasn't died. Like Betty White is a common one. Like, the you know, the
well,
old,
she is 94.
And she just had a birthday, right?
Yeah.
Crazy. And she, but she's dying. She died in her home. And the joke is that she dyed her hair. Wah, wah.
Spelling is important, people. Yes. I don't know how many times I have to say it. Spelling is important.
So just don't get caught up in all this stuff. Do your research before you repost, like with everything. But especially with this, but with everything.
Our hearts can't take it. It's enough already.
And in the meantime, a final farewell to David Bowie.
See you next time, Starman.
Got your mother.
You know, speaking of Brian Bedford and Robin Hood, when that particular news hit my social media feed, I clicked on a link on Jezebel. No, I pretty much get all my information from Jezebel, so in case you're wondering, that's where I am.
Yeah.
It was a little article by Madeline Davies, and she was saying, you know, RIP to Brian Bedford, the voice of the first cartoon fox you ever had a crush on. And it wasn't until that moment that I finally realized, oh my God, I am not alone. because as embarrassed as I may be to admit it, I would have hit that. I mean,
marry her?
Yeah, girl.
You don't just walk up to a girl, hand her a bouquet, and say, "Hey, remember me? We were kids together. Will you marry me?"
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's do this.
You'd say, "I'm there. I do it."
I mean, not to be ridiculous about it, but he was like straight up foxy. Like, I mean, haha. But like, seriously, I don't know what they did when they were drawing him. But it was this like feeling of like, oh, and then the thought that like I have a crush on an animated character, and not just an animated character, but an animal. It didn't sit great with me in my brain. Like, maybe that's not okay. But I was so relieved to see in the comments of this obituary, like, all these people being like, oh, I had the biggest crush on that fox and this and that. And then people were throwing out, like, other cartoon animals that they were crushing on when they were kids. And I was like, oh, I feel so much better. Do you have any weirdo skeletons like that in your closet?
I enjoyed Bugs Bunny, but I didn't want to sleep with them.
Do you remember, I don't know why I'm even asking, but Deb, do you remember in Wayne's World when
I never saw Wayne's World.
Oh, Jesus, Lord.
Sorry.
Well, anyway, let me sum it up for you. Garth asks Wayne if he's ever sexually attracted to Bugs Bunny when he dresses up like a woman. And Wayne just starts laughing and he's like, no. And he laughs more and he's like, no. But I felt for Garth in that moment because I was like, I feel you, bro. I get that. I get it. I don't share it, but I get it.
Yeah, no, I don't. I can't really think of any right now. None that I can think of.
All right. But like, what is something that you are embarrassed to admit?
Well, when I was a kid, this is the first thing that always comes to mind when people ask me this question. And it's a stupid example, but when I was a kid, I remember as a snack, I'd have shredded Tillamook cheddar cheese.
Yeah.
And I'd put salt on it.
Okay, Deb, here's how this is gonna work. Like,
what?
If I come out to you and I'm like, I had romantic attractions to cartoon characters who were not human, and then you're like, oh, I put salt on cheese. I'm like, this is not, we're not in the same.
What do you want me to admit, that I pee in the shower?
Like in your own shower or like in other showers? In the gym shower?
Does it matter?
It does matter. I think it matters. Hey, straight up, I will pee in my own shower. Like, I won't go in the shower just to pee, but like if I'm taking a shower and
no?
I have to pee in my own shower, I will do it. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. In fact, it's efficient and I think it's the right thing to do if, you know, the stars are aligned. But if I'm at someone else's house, no, I'm not going to pee in their shower.
Okay.
Just out of respect.
Yeah.
And I'm definitely not going to pee in like a gym shower and pull a Costanza. No.
What's so wrong with it though?
Deb, do you pee in a gym shared shower?
No.
Here's, you shave your boosh.
Speaking of the gym.
You shave your boosh.
Okay. No. Speaking of the gym, here's something that I am ashamed to admit. Just happened just the other day.
Mm-hmm.
Last week. I get up. I'm going to go work out. Get my workout stuff all together. Everything in the bag and my water and my headphones and all this shit. You can't just go to the gym. You got to make sure you got all the stuff,
right? You got to get your stuff.
Get out in the car. I scrape my car because it's cold out and it's early. And I drive to the gym. Takes like maybe 6 minutes to drive there.
Mm-hmm. Maybe you could 10. Have run. You could have jogged.
I could have. But then why go to the gym?
It's true. It's true.
Get to the gym and there's no parking spaces. I drive through twice. Nowhere to park. You see where this is going.
Mm-hmm.
I came straight home. I came straight home and I guess I justified it as, you know, the planets were not aligned.
So
I was not meant to work out at the gym that day.
And then what did you do?
I don't remember. I think I ate some breakfast or something.
I was going to say, were you like active? Did you work out at home or did you sit down and watch Netflix for 3 hours?
I think I probably watched Downton Abbey. And
You're excused. Okay. You're excused. Good choice.
But that's not something that I'm really proud of. You
Doesn't
know, I
feel
mean,
great. Yeah.
I'm going to the gym to work out. I can park 2 blocks away.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
I mean,
sure.
It's stupid. It's stupid. It's embarrassing. So no judgment there, though, right? This is a safe place. I mean, you had a crush on a fox.
Hey.
An animated fox.
That's not even the worst one. Like, that's not even the first animated character I had a crush on, but that's the one we're talking about today, and that's fine. I have a fitness related confession.
Okay.
This hasn't happened recently because we're not really watching that show anymore, but there was a period where, you know, my husband is very, enjoys fitness. He's one of these people who's like, I love to work out, which I've never understood, but it's great and it's good for him and it's terrific and it helps motivate me sometimes. Uh-huh. But because he's interested in all that, we would routinely watch The Biggest Loser on TV for years and years.
Uh-huh.
You know that show where they invite on like morbidly obese people and make them work out and compete in a weight loss competition for prizes and fame and lack of diabetes and all this stuff.
Yeah. And endorsements. And
endorsements and, you know, a year's supply of ground turkey or whatever the hell they're giving out. Just FYI, the product placement on that show is shameless.
They should get a little more creative with that, right?
It's so bad because every time they're like, here's a tip, I'm like, oh, use this product?
Yeah.
Great. Next.
Yeah.
Anywho, we would routinely watch The Biggest Loser. And here's the thing. I'm not a big dessert person. I have my weaknesses for sure. But all in all, like, I'm not super huge into sweets. Every time we watch The Biggest Loser, I have the biggest craving for ice cream. And not just like what I would normally have, like, you know, a tiny scoop of ice cream and that would be fine. I want the biggest bowl. As much ice cream as you can put in it, all of the chocolate sauce, like it's really messed up. Like I can't, it's something physiological in my brain. I see this happening and I'm like, I have to consume all of the calories that these people are sweating out. And like it's some sort of balance in the universe. And I usually don't because we don't usually have it in the house, but it's hard for me to watch a show because I'm so like, I have the shakes because I want ice cream so badly.
So
isn't that weird?
Messed
up.
Yeah.
I'm not proud of that one.
That's bizarre.
That's bizarre.
Well, but that's not really... Well, at some point it was a choice for you to have
I've done it. Not the huge, but like I've been like, screw this.
Yeah.
Good luck, obese people. I'm going to go have some ice cream.
Yeah.
And then I'll sit and I'll watch them work out while I eat my ice cream. Do you have another one? You better have another one.
Something that I need to admit, Courtney.
Yeah?
Is that whenever we record these podcasts, I don't have any pants on. So.
That's fine. I'm not wearing a bra.
Oh, perfect.
Yay!
So 6 years ago this week, you know how Facebook does the memories thing, which, I wanted to talk about that. I was talking to your husband. You were part of this conversation the other day.
Yeah.
When we were talking about how the whole Facebook memories thing can bring back memories that you don't necessarily want to have.
Yeah.
And I was going to do a little research in that, but we'll talk about that in a future show because I believe you should be able to disable that.
I think so too.
I'm not sure if you can or not. I need to do a little down the rabbit hole. If you know anything about that, disabling memories on Facebook, mm-hmm. let us know, because mm-hmm. that's something I feel like there should be a campaign.
Yeah.
To close that down.
Yeah. Or fix the logarithm, because just because something gets a lot of likes and is quote unquote popular doesn't mean it's something you want to remember.
Yes. Yeah. Like my most popular post in the last uh-huh. few months is me announcing that my mother
just passed away. Yeah, for sure.
So like, I want to opt into that memory. Yeah,
I appreciate it. However,
yeah,
some days I don't. That's the primary reason I didn't post when our cat passed away, because I was like, you know what? A year from now, I don't want this in my face.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'll remember it in my own way.
Yeah. So, but it is kind of cool sometimes when you are reminded of things that might have been, you know, were cool or good memory or whatever.
You'd forgotten about.
Yeah. So 6 years ago this month, I launched what I called Eek Harmony.
Has it really been six years?
It's been six years. Now, I don't know if you know, Courtney, do you know how this whole thing started?
No.
Well, let me give you a little nutshell.
I was
single. Mm-hmm. I was on multiple online dating platforms, not at the same time.
Sure. That's okay.
It wasn't that desperate.
No judgment. No judgment. They don't all work the same. So
that's
true. Whatever.
That's very true. So I found myself just really frustrated one day because I had just heard one too many times, why don't you just, you know, or fill in the blank.
From dudes?
From anybody. Oh, friends,
from
family.
People giving like advice on dating.
Exactly.
Okay.
And I went home. I looked at my online profile. I looked at the guys that I was matched up with just that day. I took a couple screenshots of the kind of profiles I was seeing. Now, no judgment on these guys, but I'm just, as far as the profile pictures
But you
go.
Didn't care for them.
And I uploaded them to my personal Facebook page. I called it Eek Harmony. Like, oh my God, Eek Harmony. And it just exploded. And my girlfriend Paula said, you should make a Facebook page. So I did. And it kind of created itself over mm-hmm. time. Quite a following. There's a lot of content when you're single and older and you're trying to find someone to love.
Sure.
And to love you. So it's still there. Mm-hmm. I haven't done much with it since being involved with my now husband.
Uh-huh.
Even though I don't think he would have a problem with it. So my question is, should I keep hosting this site? Should I keep, can I really host something that I am not experiencing firsthand?
Well, you certainly can. I mean,
nothing's keeping me physically from doing it. Yeah, it's not illegal or anything.
You are most welcome to do so. I mean, and it's not as if you don't have the experience, you know?
That's true.
I mean, you did go through it and plenty, I think, judging from the site.
Yeah.
And there is no shortage of content out there, certainly.
I thought maybe I would gift it to someone.
Yeah, like if, I like, think... That's what I was going to say is because as much fun as it is to see that stuff, because a lot of it's really funny and horrifying in like, I'm glad that's not me kind of a way. Uh-huh. You know, maybe it's better coming from someone who is in the trenches as opposed to a little bit removed.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. Because since I've been coupled, which has been 3 years now.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of things have changed. Tinder wasn't around.
There was no Tinder.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and no such thing.
No swiping.
Swipe left, right, none of that. So I'm thinking that maybe, because the platform is there, the audience is built in,
mm-hmm.
it can be made to be valuable. You can have fun with it, you know. So I'm thinking maybe that's what I will do. Because I don't really feel like I can speak on behalf of that audience.
It is a downside to being happy, I suppose.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
is that you don't get to revel in like the horror of the everyday crap that you go through as a single woman.
Because I have to tell you, I was pretty bitter. Yeah. You remember this? Let me play a little bit of this here.
You'd wish I'd turn up out of the blue, uninvited, but I'll stay away from love, unrequited. I'll never see your face again or hear your stupid voice, because for me, we're so over.
I might have been thinking about someone specific when I sang those words. Just saying.
Deb, did you write that?
Yeah, the parody. Obviously, Deb, it's a parody.
That's so cool.
It worked out pretty well. You know, the name of the song is Someone Like You. Mm-hmm. And I just added someone I like more than you.
Yes.
And
it's brilliant.
Just writes itself. That shit writes itself.
You were fed up and it was like, enough already. What are you going to do? You might as well have some fun with it.
Yeah.
I think it's great. I think it's great. So, I think if you want to keep it going, I think that's great. But I think you're right. I think maybe it's better to gift it to someone who can take the torch and run with it. And give it the life that it deserves.
Yeah, because certainly 6 years ago, I was thinking maybe I can turn this into a show. Maybe I can turn this into. I mean, there was all kinds of talk about a possible reality show. You know, like 50. At one point, I was talking to someone about doing a 50 dates in 50 states.
Yeah,
reality show. It never really went anywhere, but you know, I mean, I was the host of it, so my persona would be part of that. But it doesn't matter. The stories aren't just mine.
Right.
They never
were just yours.
Right. Right.
It was, and people, your story was like a jumping off place, but people were sending stuff in and it was everywhere.
I would ask you, but you are married. You are happily married.
Maybe
we run a some sort of competition, like if you want to take over the reins of eCarmony.
An essay contest.
An essay contest. All righty. So that is episode 26. Thanks so much for joining us.
Another one in the can. Can you believe it? Deb, thank you so much.
No, Courtney, thank you.
Wow. Well,
and thank you, 12 listeners.
Yes, thank you. It's
five
a pleasure
of which
to have
given reviews on iTunes.
Yes, thank you so much for doing that. I don't know how many reviews on iTunes we need to get like actual traction amongst strangers. I think it's more than five, but if we could get all 12 of you, that would probably be pretty cool. Don't feel like you have to give 5-star ratings just because you know us. Like, we're cool. We're open to like feedback, man.
That's right. We'll take two. We'll take three. We'll take one. We'll take what we can get.
We'll take what you got.
Because we're takers.
That's what we do. I'm Courtney.
And I'm Deb.
And thank you so much for listening to The Mixtape.